Hey, everybody. I'm going to be at Dr. Grin's, Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm coming back. I haven't been there in a little bit, so it's fun to come back and work Grand Rapids at Dr. Grin's. I'm going to be there May 16th through the 18th. Five shows. Get tickets at dansoder.com. And then Columbus Funny Bone. Two nights at the Funny Bone. One of my favorite clubs in the country. I love coming to Columbus. Last time was a blast. May 31st and June 1st, I'm going to be at the Columbus Funny Bone. And then all the dates of Burt Kreischer's Fully Loaded Tour. We're talking 3 weeks in June. Going to be going from places like Canton, Ohio, Savannah, Georgia, Macon, Georgia, Pittsburgh, Brandon, Missouri, Orange Beach, Alabama, Indianapolis. Oh, Indianapolis is later. I'll see you later just by myself. But Fully Loaded Tour. Go to dansoder.com/tour. Come on out. I'll see you. I'll see you there, right? 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 I feel like Myrtle looks at you like the king dog. You come in here and she goes like, hey, this is a human dog. I love this guy.
Myrtle, you're so fucking beautiful.
Yeah, she is. She got a haircut, so she wants to. Beautiful. She demanded she be on the podcast today. She was like, look at me. I'm smooth. Look at her little nad neck, dude, like ball sack.
Yeah, she's got a little nad neck.
Everyone's like, she doesn't have a fat neck. And you're like, dude, look at her. She goes nuts.
Yeah, she's got a fat neck, fat pussy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm firing live rounds already.
The podcast starts off and we're going like, I think St. Germain wants to fuck a dog, dude. I don't know.
What if I just start like texting people, yo, Soder's dog's got a fat pussy.
You seen that dog's pussy? It's
my dog's
fat.
Got a fat pussy. Dude, she's got an Audi pussy.
Would you, I mean, you know, we're already recording. But when we were on the road and you told me that you guys bang with the dogs on
we
the bed,
we have to.
I mean, I have to put
we
her.
Have no
I, we
choice.
Have to put her in a kennel like solitary
it's
confinement.
Very bad.
She knows when it's coming because we're like, hey, like we get flirty and then we go, all right, we're all time to go to your kennel. And she's like, what are you guys doing?
Could that be part of it? Like Katie sexily brings her to the crate.
No, I fucked up. I'm sure Katie will be all right me telling this story. But I'm not good at starting sex.
Yeah.
Because I'm a giant goofball.
I know.
Every time with you, I go, Dan, just give it to me. But I'm really bad at starting sex. And one time, like, I think the mood was right. And I go, and Katie and I are there, and I just go, you want me to put Myrtle in her kennel? And she goes, no, that's not how you start it.
You see like the frost forming over her crotch.
Dry city, dude. It's the fucking, the barren salt flats. After I was like, you want me to put the dog in her
kennel?
You want
me to put the dog in the crate?
Because you and your wife bang with the dogs on the bed.
Well, yeah.
Is that common? I'm not going to judge
you. I
don't
know. It's like, I think it's common.
Sound off in the comments.
But I was writing a bit about it, and she's like, don't do a bit about it. So I was like, all right, I'll just talk about it on a podcast. Yeah.
Well, it's cool. I'll just talk about it on my friend's podcast.
I'm just talking about it on my friend's podcast. They have separation anxiety because, like, well, Goldie's a COVID dog, and she's also the pack leader. Yeah. So they follow her everywhere.
And so if she has separation anxiety, the rest of them are like, if she's freaking out.
It's bad.
Out,
it's bad.
She's the general.
Falky licks. So, like, I'll be like, I mean, this is like, 2 weeks ago, Sarah was going down on me.
Yeah.
And then I felt another tongue.
And you go,
my the worst inner thigh. This is the worst kind of threesome.
It would have been better if you go, oh, did you invite a friend? You try to like get into it. You're like, well, looks like company has arrived.
That's the worst cutscene from Beethoven. Just Charles Grodin. Beethoven.
Are you licking my ass? Like, but he's doing it like a St. Bernard. So it's like, he's just sucking Grodin's ass. He's like, did you?
I just go nuts. And sometimes it'll be like, and then I'll be like, one time I was like banging her from behind, and which is
doing what you do.
Just a weird thing to say about your wife, by the way.
It's weird. Banging her from behind. When you love someone, doing that kind of stuff, which I know there's a lot of people that are fine with that.
Yeah.
But doing the thing where you go, so then I'm just throttling her.
Plowing my betrothed. I'm just fucking.
You know my kindred spirit. I'm just absolutely slamming her.
Oh man!
You know my slam piece that I'll do anything for.
Do death do those part like those pussy lips? All right. But I start like and then all of a sudden Mushu, our 3-pound toy cup tea multi poo, just because she was like bent over she was bent over the bed. It walked over her arm on her back and just sat and looked at me while I was like plowing as like a show of dominance. Not to mention Mushu.
But the fact that Sarah didn't move, that she just like held her plank position.
She goes, Mushu.
Dog, and the dog, like, the fact that the dog breached the back, got on the back. Did it do a circle? Did it do a dog circle?
Or it does a dog circle.
That's so funny.
It did a dog circle.
Where are you going?
And you're, then we,
is this uncomfortable for you, Myrtle? She's like, I don't want to know about this.
I don't want to know.
So the dog sat down and looked at you?
Just looked at me. But Mushu is dominance. Mushu's a 3-pound toy cup tea malty poo who, like, whenever Sarah gets horny, it's this weird, like, Professor X thing where, like, he gets horny. So he plows my arm, dude.
Dude, you
like,
said
every night. I wish
I want you guys to know this.
I'm going to actually, I'll send you the video of him fucking my arm tonight. Yeah, you guys can put it on the Patreon or something.
No, it's not a Patreon. It'll go or fresh you can maybe on
the credits, just throw it on.
He'll put it on right in the middle of the podcast.
Dude, he'll
drop it right down there.
He plows.
Every night?
Dude, not every night. Like it's like on our schedule. So like we had a good week last week. Which is a married thing again. We had a good week.
By the way, it is, once you're in a long term monogamous relationship,
it's a good week.
It's like a batting average. Yeah. You go like, dude, that's kind of hot. I hit for the cycle.
Yeah, dude, we had three last week. Yeah. You know, which is a huge week for any married couple. So he was like activated because of that. And so
Mushu just gets on the back.
He just fucking he gets on my arm. He holds in. It's the only time
he hold it with his little paws.
Yeah, and it's the only time he gives me eye contact. So he'll just like.
Here's my question: does he finish? Is he neutered?
He can. He's neutered. What happens is he feigns finishing, and then he kicks back on my chest, and then walks away as like a way to be like, fuck you. Like,
so he'll fuck your arm.
Yeah,
and then does the.
He turns around and then it's gotten so bad that he barks, like he'll scream until I give him the arm. He's like a little Weinstein. Like he's like, and it's
your dog sexually harasses you?
Assaults, not just harasses, full blown. He doesn't like, it's so bad at this point that I have to, because Sarah has like no sympathy for me during this. In the beginning, she's like, Mushu, don't. Now she's like, just let him
fuck your arm.
Just let him fuck your arm.
Is there ever a moment that you just want to show how big you are and like raise your arm up? So he's like,
dude, I'm getting right to that. Like, I was like, once I was like, and I moved it a little and he fell off my arm and off the couch. And she goes, Mushu! It's the only time she got. So now it's proceeded to, when he fucks me on the couch, I have to hold him in place.
Oh, no.
It's consensual.
You're a spotter?
It's consensual. This is what Ted Cruz was nervous about when they made gay marriage legal. Yeah. It's like, some point, there'd be some dude with a beer getting fucked by his 3-pound. I don't know why I gave Ted Cruz a truck driver.
I love
accent.
It, though. But he's like, there's a man getting fucked by a dog somewhere enjoying it. It's just you holding Mushu's butt. Bye, Myrtle. Myrtle's
that
had
was
enough.
It. Myrtle was grossed out.
She's going to the kennel. What are you doing?
She's kenneling herself after that story.
That's wild. She goes, I'm not going to fuck this guy's arm. She goes, next thing you know, this guy's going to want me to. Yeah, she's going, Myrtle, go in there. Hey, pick a place. Dude, I've never seen my dog self-retire.
Dude, that was, I feel so bad.
Myrtle was like, all right, we get it.
All right, that's enough.
She goes, I hump at the park. Everyone freaks out. She humps other dogs at the park as like a form of dominance.
Well, that's what Mushu does to me.
That's what he's doing.
And just
he doesn't
me.
Think you're irresistible.
Nobody else. Just me.
Oh, I thought he had a thing for beards.
No, nobody else.
I think he was like, you know what I love? It's just
he humps my arm.
Myrtle! She's trying to go through the trash. This sneaky
and
bitch.
He humps my arm, and now he tries to lick Goldie's pussy. He does. He licks her pussy. So now, like, I have to give my
what
arm.
What kind of fucking harem do you have there? You just have dogs on dogs. You go, we have everything you like. Dog on human. Dog on dog.
The ripping and the tearing.
The ripping and the tearing. The wild women. The wild women. The wild dogs. The wild dogs. The ripping and the tearing. The
good dogs go to heaven. Bad dogs go everywhere else.
Yeah, this is a fucking dog episode.
Yeah, so it's gotten really now I have to give him my arm so he doesn't assault Goldie. So
you have to arm is his methadone.
It's like when the older sister like gets molested by the stepdad, so
she's taking
younger
the
younger sister does.
You basically do the thing where in hockey where they slide in front of the shot so that you'll take the puck so it won't score a goal.
Yes.
You're a team player.
I'm a team player.
But does it happen like clockwork? Is it like every night?
No, it's like it's once every 3 nights now. It was every night.
And you said it's when Sarah gets horny.
When Sarah gets horny.
Then Mushu's like, time to fuck.
He was never doing it until I came into the picture.
So Mushu was her dog.
Yes.
And then you guys started dating.
I started dating. And I also asked, I'm like, has he done that with any other guys before me? And she's like, no.
You know why? It's because she's watched you dominate her mom. Or he's watching. Hey, come up here, fatso.
My mother-in-law is definitely not watching this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Oh, there she is. She's like turning her back, though, so she doesn't have to hear.
She goes, listen, I know you. Stories. I know dogs fuck you. I don't want that. I just want pets. I mean, that's got to be like, does it ever break your concentration? Hey, fatso, up here.
Yeah.
Oh, she's down. She's going to lay
plus
on your
I'm
foot.
On like antidepressants, so it's just like, there's just like obstacles for my dick. My dick, it's like my dick to my wife's pussy. It's like little paper boy, you know, like there's like antidepressants. There's dogs like, licking me.
A dog runs off the lawn towards her dick.
Bad set. Oh, Lord.
Not thinking about eighth grade for no reason. Yeah, that's the older you get. And I think young men watching this understand that when you breach the age of 35, erections become gambles because they're not as consistent. When you're in your 20s, you do the thing where you go like, hooked up with her. I didn't even really want to just because your boner's automatic.
Right. It just works. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. You have to be mentally present. Hey, kid, you're really fucking this up. Why don't you go in your kennel? Kennel. Lay down. She's all hyped about the dog talk. Door's open, though, so I'm not imprisoning her. Okay. Okay. I don't want to go off on a rant here.
What if PETA like invades this podcast studio?
We had Myrtle in the kennel for one of the first episodes, and all the YouTube comments were like, free Myrtle. Free Myrtle. Like she was fucking Meek Mill. They're like, free Myrtle. Get her the fuck out of there. But she's just a problem.
What is going on with Meek Mill? Like,
I don't know. They like said he was part of the P. Diddy. You know, like, you know what's true progress is when Black culture has the same conspiracies as white culture.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're starting to breach into the whole, like, power and pedophilia and, like, making people, like, the Illuminati.
Everybody's a pedophile, dude.
Well, that's the thing.
That's the new thing.
This is the thing I've noticed is that's the thing you can accuse, either side can accuse of.
For sure.
Because everyone's like, it's kids. You can't be mad. Like, it's automatically bad if it's kids.
Yeah, it's automatically
It used
bad.
To be, like, the left and right would be like, they're thieves, they're liars. And now they just automatically go, pedophiles. And you go, damn, that really is the...
Really?
That's the number one move to go
really,
to.
Really, yeah. That's...
But now we've got dog fuckers. And you can just say dog fuckers.
Yeah, that's going to be in my attack ad when I run for
Dan
comptroller.
Dan St. Germain. It's, does he get dogs horny? Will he dominate Senate the way that his dog dominates his arm? Yeah, that's it's funny because like Mushu is Sarah's dog.
Yeah.
And then you guys get married. And yes. I truly think it is because you have sex with the dogs in the room. The dog watched you.
What are
you.
We supposed to do? It's like they scream if we don't let them in the room with us.
And you're like,
yeah. It's not like
you're trying to be sexy
when
a dog's like.
It's also not like, I just want to say, wait, where's the camera? Yeah. I want to say, I'm not, like, this isn't a situation where like I need the dogs there as part of it.
I don't think it is.
No, it's not. Stop shaking your fucking head, Mike. That's not what it is. I'm not a dog fucker.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?
I'm not a dog fucker.
I think it's the ambiance. I think you need the ambiance.
I'm like a vaping really. Yeah, like you're like
vaping, being like, and also the way whenever you get fired up and you push your hair back, you go, I'm just saying, man, I don't fuck dogs.
I'm starting to act like, you know, Joe Pesci and JFK. Yeah, he's like, it's a riddle wrapped in an enigma.
Yeah.
Wrapped in a flea collar.
It's, it is funny though, because there's zero chance. One time we had sex when Myrtle was out of the kennel.
Yeah.
And then we were like, what's she eating? And she was just chewing the condom wrapper. She was like, And you're like, no. She's like, what? I found this on the floor.
Yeah, they
like,
love it.
And it was like post-sex, so you're like, God damn it. Pre-sex, I'd have been like, ooh.
Oh, yeah, we're getting into it now. Yeah.
This also doesn't help the conspiracy that white people love our dogs too much.
Well, I don't think that's a conspiracy.
No,
I
that's
think
that, true.
That's just true.
Yeah, but then I think everybody loves
dogs. That used to annoy
dogs.
Me when you would do that bit about how dogs don't really love us.
I stopped doing that.
Exactly. I thought I was like, at some point, that cold heart,
honestly,
that cold heart is going to warm over.
It was because of your note. Because Dan and I are on the road, and I was doing a joke about how dogs only love us for the food. They're like strippers. And dude, Saint Germain and I have known each other for like 15 plus years. And I get off the stage, and he just goes, I don't know. It was in Detroit. You go, I don't think that's true, man. I don't like that joke. it's funny because my mom has only gotten mad about a couple jokes, and she said it in the same tone you did. Where she's like, I don't like that joke.
Yeah,
I don't
like that joke. That's the only one. Yeah. You've talked about like your family members dying, your dad's alcoholism. I've never thrown in a flag.
Dude, we just, my grandma died and we went through her house or whatever. And then now it's weird because the bank is foreclosing on her townhouse because she took a reverse mortgage and didn't tell anybody and then just borrowed it out until it was underwater.
Which, by the way, gangster move.
Dude, she did. If you're thinking of hilariousness, my grandma might be the funniest person that ever lived. But I am the punchline in every one of her jokes. She
has never seen a comedy special of yours.
She never watched me do comedy. She never saw me.
Well, she doesn't now, but she. No,
well, now she watches, you know, now she's in the.
You think she's watching your stand up in heaven?
Maybe down there. She, I've told this story before, but it was like the most kick in the dick moment where I started sending her money when I got Guy Code.
Yeah.
Guy Court.
I mean, that's amazing.
When I was doing Guy Court, I started sending her checks.
You on that show was hilarious. You were the only one who actually looked like they were in court.
Yeah, I looked like
everybody else was like doing a bro thing, and you looked like you were
there
to get your kids back.
They got me a boxy suit.
I remember that.
And I had a bad short haircut.
I remember that too.
And then was just going against the most charming people in the world.
Yeah.
Little Duvall, Andrew Schultz, all that. So it's funny that
Schultz's coming in like on a scooter that's blinking.
And then I'm going like, these are the rules. These are the rules. So I started sending my grandma money when I was doing Guy Court, which does sound like a gay porn.
Yeah,
for sure. Where I was like, Guy Court? And you're you're accused of being gaping. There it is. Look at that. Tell me that's not a guy trying to lock up a 16-year-old black kid.
This is the least MTV2 image I've ever seen.
If you told me that's from Court TV, I'd believe it. MTV2, if you did a multiple choice, right?
Yeah.
If you put multiple choice down and MTV2 was one of the options, you would be like, well, that's a red herring. That's clearly not true.
You look like you're about to say, let them count all the votes.
Yeah. Where I go, you have to understand that my client was acting out of self-defense at those riots. I'm Rittenhouse's lawyer. You just don't know that's me defending Kyle Rittenhouse.
He would have been great on Guy Code, by the way.
He'd have been like, bro, they break the code, rat-a-tat-tat. Break the code, catch a bullet. No, Kyle.
This guy's hilarious. More like Kyle Riot House. Am I right?
He's like, not my fault. His crying face is still the funniest thing. I don't care what your political affiliation is.
Dude.
Kyle Rittenhouse doing that fake cry.
You should do the meme of the Michael Jordan and the Kyle Rittenhouse cry together for sure.
Both good cries. But,
great cries.
So my grandma would like do this thing. This is why she was so funny. She would like
ruin your life.
Well, she didn't ruin my life as much as she just never gave me praise. She was always like, yeah, whatever. Like, never watched my stand-up. Yeah. Never watched Billions. Never did any of that stuff.
And it's like a big deal if your kid, like, people get excited if their kid is like playing, you know, Sublime covers at a tiki bar.
Dude, there's people that get excited if your kid was interviewed on the local news.
Right. And like, you were just nothing but net for years.
Bought her.
Could not give a fuck. Nothing but net. HBO special.
Didn't even
Billions,
try to watch it.
Showtime has compilations of like the best of your character moments. Grandma could not give a shit.
Dude, I offered to buy her HBO and she went, nah.
Oh my god! And she took money for everything else.
Everything else.
And but went, as soon as there was a chance, as soon HBO, as there was a chance that she would watch you,
I'm not gonna watch that. So we go to I go to Lakeport to visit. I can say the town now because she doesn't live there. Yeah. I used to say like Lake County.
You don't
want
to get her doxxed.
I just was scared someone would try to break in and kill her.
I don't think that would happen in Lakeport. I think they would get killed on the way to try to kill her.
Dude, you don't know Lakeport. If they knew that there was some money in there, they'd be like,
"That's true. That's true."
They'd be like, "Oh, this fucking New York fancy pants is sending her cash. Let's kill the old bag." So I show up to Lakeport, and my grandma's like, "Yeah, this lady at the bank wants to meet you." And so I was like, "Oh, this." Probably a Billions fan.
Right, right.
That's immediately what I thought. It was like, oh, she probably watches Billions. And so we go to the bank. My grandma has to make a deposit or whatever, a check I'm giving her. And we go into the bank, and the lady's like, are you Mary Lou's grandson? And I was like, yeah. She's like, I've wanted to meet you for so long. And I was like, oh. And you do the thing where you're like, what do you know me from?
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, you are just such a good grandson.
Oh, my.
And I was like, wait, this is because I'm a good grandson? And then she goes, by the way, what do you do? And my grandma, without missing a beat, goes, he's a writer. And you go, I would say that's the weakest part of my whole act is the writing. That's I would hilarious. Say I'm more of a voice guy, but she just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, my mom didn't really. She liked a couple things. My mom's dead too. This is like the dead family.
We're dishing on dead ladies.
She would like some. She liked earlier on stuff, but the last thing she like wanted to read one of my screenplays, and it was a thriller, so I thought she would like it.
Yeah,
I sent her, and she just like wrote back like. No likable characters, hated the story, just like
so she gave
bone crushing.
And I need to tell people that don't know, Dan and I write stuff together.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that Dan is an insanely talented writer. We've been working on Stone Cold Law for fucking 3 years.
This is
where, by the way, the big agent called me.
Oh, really?
Yesterday to be like, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. What's going on? We've been waiting 3.5 years to get a pilot. I went on Barstool and almost blew this whole thing up.
I know.
I got Nick Khan calling, being like, what the fuck are they doing?
And it still went. Here's my thing. With this project, there's nothing. Okay, I'm not going to actually keep talking about it. But
I hope why not?
I think that there's nothing that can greenlight it or kill it. I think it's just... We'll be working on this until the end of time.
It is.
We'll get a green lit, and then we'll be diagnosed with Hodgkin's.
Listen, yeah, Dan and I have written a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best script I've been a part of. It's the best idea I've been a part of. I've never had my manager and my agent go like, "This is an unbelievable script," and then we give it to NBC and they go like, "I don't know. We'll call you in 2 weeks," and you're like, "All right," but
I think it's going to happen though.
I hope. But your
at
mom,
least the pilot.
Your mom, yeah, we better get a pilot at least. Yeah.
Well, my mom would have not liked Stone Cold Law.
Really?
No, I don't think
so.
Maybe she would have liked
and
it.
You,
I don't know.
I'm always interested about this because your dad is super supportive.
Super supportive. My dad's a writer, playwright. He's got started. He was a playwright. He started on The Cosby Show.
That's nuts. Yeah. So when you were a kid, he was writing on The Cosby Show?
When I was very little. Yeah.
Very little.
They
like
had, it was
85, 86?
Yeah, they told him he was, they told Cosby he was, it was actually really like layers of fucked up. Because they told Cosby that my dad was a black writer so that he could never meet Cosby.
No way.
It was crazy.
That's an 80s sitcom. That's like Soul Man.
Yeah, it's like
your dad has to go blackface
like
to meet
Benny
him.
Hill music yeah. Where they're like running.
Where they're like, he has to hire a black actor to play your dad. And then like, you got, he like, Cosby's asking questions only your dad would know. He goes, in the script you wrote that the man doesn't like raspberries. Do you like raspberries? And your dad's like, oh, I'm just going to do your voice as your dad. But he's like, oh, tell him I don't eat raspberries. It's like your dad giving a black actor all these cues.
My dad is Soul Man.
And that's what I mean. With Thomas C. Howell, he comes in, he's like, what it is? And Cosby's like, no one talks like that.
Did that's he? Funny that at the time they're like, man, this is the biggest secret about this show.
Yeah. This is the worst thing that can come out of this show, is that Saint Germain is actually a white guy. But actually, Saint Germain could be a cool black last name.
It could be like a French, a Quebecois jazz musician.
Oh my God, yeah. Sure. Like just Andre Saint Germain.
Like, and he goes, Herbie chill. Hancock just cutting to him.
He goes, chill, baby. That's my white bearded son. It's like, dude, that's so funny. That did your so your dad never met him, so he couldn't never do the thing him. Where he's like, because if you worked with Cosby, there's got to be so many people that now that shit's out, they go like, I felt something. Everyone wants to act
my
like
dad
they
never no, but he couldn't had meet no him. Idea he couldn't meet him,
so he was just remote.
He met the son. That was a bit. He met Malcolm Jamal Warner.
And did Malcolm Jamal Warner go, you're not black?
No, she goes, are you Mark St. Germain? Like, it's like he figured it out, you know? Because he wrote a really good episode for like Malcolm, I think, about his hamster dying or something like that.
Really?
So like, yeah, he.
Do you watch the episodes your dad wrote?
I've seen that one, but I haven't seen all of them. I've seen.
God,
like,
I would love to do a watch along.
My dad's a playwright, so it's like he's like television, so passe.
Yeah, that new like, joke. I'm not going to give away stage. Your. I'm not going to give away your new
it's
joke. You're doing about your dad, but it's one of my favorite new jokes. Yeah, he goes, try practice on a boy. I don't want to give it away
well,
too much.
It's also because like my dad would be. Competing with my grandpa's like a World War II veteran. Like he I just found out he like liberated Doc. He was one of the guys who liberated Dachau. Like damn. Really intense shit. And my dad was still like competing for who had more trauma. So you know, my grandpa would be like, "I lost my best friend on Omaha Beach." My dad's like, "Not as traumatizing as a bad review from the New York Times."
he goes, "When we unlocked the cages at Dachau, we realized that they hadn't eaten in 6 months." He goes, "Oh, I once had an intermission that lasted 12 minutes longer than it should have." And he's like, "I don't think you understand, son. I can't have, if a book hits the ground around me, I get PTSD." And he goes, "I do."
That explains why you never read mine.
Yeah. So that was your dad's dad.
That was my dad's dad.
Were you close to your
dad's?
My
mom's dad also was about to go to World War II, but he shot himself in the hand. He was just hammered. That's the one I take after. Just fucking hammered and just shot himself in the hand.
I love finding out which grandpa you take after.
That was that. Yeah.
I love that you're after the one that
dude,
got so
kicked out of high school for fucking one of the teachers. Like,
oh my God,
he was
dude.
Like, he could have been a doctor, became
what's
a
his
pharmacist.
Name? Grandpa Cool?
With just, a K?
Yeah. And he's doing pharmacy where you could do one for them, one for you. Because there was no counts on
that
bills.
That must have been the sweetest.
Oh
dude.
My God. Before computer registry?
Oh my God.
If you were doing fucking pharmacy, you could be like, "Om nom nom, this day is going too slow."
As far as like who got the most pussy, it was like Elvis, then pharmacists.
Oh my God, dude, just giving Quaaludes and shit. Because that was back in the Quaaludes day. There was a guy, I won't say his name because I don't want to throw his family shit out there, but this guy I grew up with, his dad was like a huge surgeon, like a major surgeon. And you know, when you grow up in like a mixed environment where there's like levels to economic prosperity, where there's like, we were right in the middle. Like my mom and I were fine. We were like dead middle class, but we knew really poor people. My high school had like 3,000 kids in it. So you got everybody. You got like the rich kids and then you got the poor kids. But he wasn't like a rich kid, but you knew his dad was like a really successful surgeon. And then years later it came out, his dad was just giving strippers Oxycontins and fucking them. And you're like, nice. Immediately you go, I'd be a bad doctor. Fuck bad lieutenant. I'd be a bad doctor.
Dude,
all day.
My aunt went to jail for 8 years because she was selling scripts over the counter.
No way.
And my mom and her weren't talking at the time.
Damn, your mom's family partied.
And
it's crazy because you get
it
one
was going to be a big news story. It was going to be a big news story, but OJ came out right during that. So I like to say, OJ may have killed one white woman, but he saved another.
Yeah. Your aunt went, sorry, Nicole. Thanks.
She went to jail for 8 years. And she
prison?
Prison, dude. Oh, damn. Women's prison. Yeah, it was like
lady people, prison. That's all tickle fights died. And sex.
Yeah, it's all tickle. Just scissoring. It's
all,
the whole thing.
It's all big permed hair and big fake tits. I just think it's like cinematics.
Who wants to put in my hole?
Yeah. Oh, and they did is fuck the hunky guards.
But seriously.
When she
and then
came
my mom
out,
taught at a prison, so my mom, like, that was a nice thing my mom did. So
she went and what? Oh, she
taught one, which is that's the one I lead with, not this one.
Would you Just go see your aunt in prison?
No, I hadn't seen my aunt since I was like 3 years old, and she just died a couple years. My mom and both of her half sisters died within like a my mom and my aunt died within the same year, and then her sister died like a year or two earlier than that.
Damn,
you know, like,
but it, you know what it is, man? Because I got that the party side.
That's the dad side.
Yeah, it's all dead.
All dead.
Because they get after it.
They just know how to do it.
Yeah, if you get after it, you're going to clock out early. You
get after it. Yeah. I get it.
My mom's family, it's funny because my mom's family is all Irish and like they booze, but they drink in like a fun way. They drink in like a, they don't drink in a way where you're like, are you sprinting towards your death?
Yeah.
That was like how my dad's family drank. My dad's family drank was like, the sun's up. We got to get fucked up. We got to get fucked up.
Yeah, like, I had like an uncle who died because he fell off a ladder. It's like one of those.
Great. Yeah, my dad, you know, cirrhosis by 48 by way of...
Oh my God, that's a...
Well, it was by way of hepatitis C.
I'm still the 48 cirrhosis.
Someone was telling me that I should... I think it might have been you was telling me I should have done that bit when my grandma and I were playing cards. I was telling someone a story because my dad got hepatitis C and it turned into cirrhosis. And then he gave my aunt was taking care of him. She was a registered nurse and she got hepatitis C from my dad but didn't know. And then kept drinking because she had a drinking problem. And she got liver cancer. And that's how she died. Jesus. So hepatitis C got both my grandma's kids. And we're like, I know I'm laughing, but I'll tell you why I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the fact that we were playing gin rummy in her dining room.
Yeah.
And Alabama was playing Auburn because I usually go visit her Thanksgiving. Yeah. So it's the Iron Bowl, and I have it on because I want to listen. It was like a good game, and we were playing cards, and I wanted to hang out with my grandma, but I wanted to know what's going on with Alabama Auburn. Game. And we're playing War Eagle, Roll Tide. So we're playing cards, and a commercial comes on, and the voiceover goes, hepatitis C is curable. Hepatitis C doesn't have to stop you from doing anything. And my grandma goes like that, and I have to run into the other room and be like, no, lies, they're just lying, they're lying, it's not curable, both your babies died of that. You're so self-aware. But she had a hand of cards and she went, and I was like, no, just, hepatitis
just
C
shelter your mom.
Can't hurt you anymore. And I was like,
your grandma just sheltered from everything she didn't want
to
hear.
Dude, she did. She moved to a small town and was just like, dude, I'm living alone. We went through all of her shit. She had receipts from like 1985. We were like, what, are you returning this? It's not even a store anymore.
Was she like purposely kept it or was it just like
debris? Great Depression. They saved everything. I mean, there was just boxes of papers that had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. I think I have some of those boxes. Not your grandma's, but
that'd be funny. I went to Lakeport.
Why does Dan have all my grandma's?
Well, now we're at the point where because she had a townhouse in this development. Mm-hmm. So she was a homeowner. So it was like a homeowners association. And yesterday they reached out and they're like, your grandma's 2 months behind on her homeowners of things. And I go, okay. Katie heard me on the phone in the other room, and I went, so? And she went, well, who's going to pay that? I was like, the bank? They're foreclosing on her townhouse. Leave me alone. And Katie was like, how great did that feel? I was like, pretty awesome.
What did they do after you said that?
They went, all right, I guess we'll try to take it up at the bank. And I was like, yeah, why don't you do that?
Yeah, I'm not going to.
I'm
not Bane. I don't have to pay for my father's mistakes.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it was wild. It's wild because when people die in debt,
it doesn't matter.
You can choose to receive that debt or not.
Yeah, just don't receive it.
That's what I mean. Yeah. There was an estate lawyer that goes like, well, this townhouse is underwater. I had to hire an estate lawyer like for other shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you want the townhouse? And I was like, what? Do I want to inherit $200,000 in debt? Are you out of your fucking mind? No. And he goes, bank's going to take it. And you go, yeah. Great.
It's dude, theirs. Tell them, congrats.
Tell them fucking, yeah. Dude,
you're the only person where there's a foreclosure and you're like having a party. Yeah. It's like the opposite of a Michael Moore documentary.
I'm drinking champagne. I'm like, ah. There was it was funny because when I asked my grandma about it, she's like, she wouldn't tell me about her finances, even though I was helping her. And finally I go, hey, what's going on with your mortgage? I saw a mortgage thing. And she goes, oh, I took a reverse mortgage. And I was like, yeah, you're in the, when I did the actual work and I found out, I go, yeah, you're like in the hole. And she goes, oh, well, you'll call the bank and take care of that. Hilarious.
Oh my God.
Hilarious.
Yeah, before we before we put my mom in a, this is the first time I talked about it, in a living facility, we found out she owed like $60K.
Really?
Yeah. To the bank.
And you really understand that you go like, oh, you owe $60K, but I don't.
Yeah.
But there's people that just
take it on.
Take it on. And they're like, no, I want that house or I want whatever it is.
Well, it was like one of these things where, yeah, I mean, it was like she had like, what, these wet bags in the attic. So like it had like black mold that spread throughout the whole.
Yeah. Did they have to do like Jenny's house from Forrest Gump where they bulldozed it? I just catch you throwing rocks at her house.
Far, far away.
But it's you going, no, dear God.
It was a tear down.
They tore it down. Yeah. Did you go to that?
No, I didn't go to that. I had like no emotional
memory. Like,
it was just like levels of sad. When you have so much sad hitting you at the same time, you have to like pick your sad. It's sad like being burger? A sad buffet. You're like, yeah. I'll take a little of this and a little of this.
Oh, abandonment. I could do a little abandonment.
There was so many things to be depressed about. I couldn't give a shit about this.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?
You do so much. Like, yeah.
My mom isn't shitty, but sure, some things she did was shitty. Well, I'm still at that phase of my therapy.
I'm like this. As one of your best friends, I go, yeah, buddy, we'll get you there. Because I used to do that with my dad, where I was like, no. He was like a good dude. And then everyone around me goes, my mom was sitting behind me going,
my mom had a psychotic break. That's basically what she had, a legitimate psychotic break. But
so you're not mad at that.
No, I'm mad at times I was, but it was, you know, it's just like, and we've talked about this before. It's like, there's something too about like when your parent dies just tragically and not in a heroic way.
Oh, dog. That was the joke I did on my HBO special. It's like, you can't, I have friends whose parents died in 9/11. My dad died next to a lake with nothing. I drive by the town and I go like, I don't even know if anybody knew him. I haven't had one person come out and go like, I knew your dad.
Oh my God.
Most people have that.
I've had a couple messages. But yeah, for the most part, well, this started as like a really fun podcast. Now it's going to like, what the fuck?
This is exactly what our car rides are like on the road. It starts out so silly. And then by the end you go like, you know, when the soul leaves the body, there's a rattle. There's a rattle you can hear from a mile away.
Well, like you said before, I attract. Like, remember that one time I was waiting for you in the hotel lobby, and you came downstairs, and I just was surrounded by Native Americans telling me their story.
Dude,
for
that was in Portland when we filmed on the road.
Like, by the way, I was only waiting for 5 minutes. Not like I was there for like 2 hours.
And I come downstairs, and the guy going, "When the Great Eagle comes back, he will understand that the white man has taken everything." And Dan's going like this. Well, they don't have Twizzlers in the lobby. And that I know for sure. It's
like a guy going, "Your brother, they're out of milk duds."
When the white man understands what he's done to us, and he goes, "Oh, well, the burger at the restaurant in the lobby is pretty all right." I came down and I looked at Dan across the lobby. I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Dan's face, it was just.
We were about to go to Helium. We were going to tape on the road.
It was Tape Your Special.
Yeah, we were taping on the road.
And I'm just like recreating the last scene of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah.
He goes, "Hey, this is my new friend. Can you do 5 minutes? And he goes, I'm laughs with hyenas. I've got a good one for you." Yeah, but there was like an addiction meeting.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?
Or like
it was a Native American like meetup tribal meetup or something like that.
But there was two things. There was like a Comic-Con.
When you came down, they were specifically talking to me about the missing Native women.
That's what it was. Dan got sucked into Killers of the Flower Moon while I was coming down. And I had like my dress shirt that I was going to wear. And I was like, who's ready to make some laughs? And they go like,
with me, it's Killers of the Flower Moon Pie.
Yeah, and they were like, and she was my niece. She was a good woman. And Dan's going to be trying to get out of it. Just all the time. All the time on the road.
And then I was going to rehab that week. It was just like a combo of
Can I tell you, though? One of the best sets I've ever seen stand-up comedy-wise was the late show at Cobb's.
Oh, yeah,
and that weekend, because we went, Homeless Pimp knows, we went from Portland to San Francisco to do shows. And you were going into rehab the next week.
Yeah.
And Saturday Night Late Show, you were like, just I saw you in the green room, you're like, well, this is it for a while. And you went on stage in your brand new Laker hat that matched nothing. Nothing. You look like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America. That's how you were dressed. And you go on stage in your brand new Laker hat and close the dumb match, and you just go like, hey, I'm going to rehab. And then you fucking ripped for like 25 minutes where I was like on the side of the stage like, holy shit. Thank God I just taped an hour so I could just do that hour automatically. But dude, it was so funny. It was phenomenal. I
wish me luck. You were those tapings. I mean, if you guys haven't seen Dan's have.
Go watch both of our specials.
Well, I mean, his special's the best special of the
year. Go watch Dance Fatty Dance.
And On the Road.
Yeah, both on YouTube. Get a double dose of Dan. Go get a train ran by Dan. Comedy train ran.
You watch a Dan Natterman afterwards. Yeah. Pick a third Dan.
Get a dog on you. Get a dog on your arm. Get fucked. Just
pick a third Dan.
Yeah, you going to therapy rehab was just like...
It's a bummer because I missed the film work, but...
It's all right.
It's all right. I was cool, man. I went to an AA dance that night.
Dude.
I was having a fun time.
I was getting texts from you. You were texting me and you were like, how are the shows? I was like, show's good, yo. Yeah, I met a guy in here that's got it worse than me. Like, you were texting, I was like... I would be texting with Dan and be like, oh yeah, you're in fucking rehab right now.
Well, I told you the funniest thing that happened to me in rehab is there was a couple days where they were trying me on nude meds and I was having panic attacks.
Sure.
And I was like on the floor, like hyperventilating. And there was a guy who just started comedy who came into rehab and he was pitching me new bits I was on. He was like, hey, is this a bad time?
Dude, there is.
I'm like, no, but this is the best time.
Yeah. Right. You're like, I'm having a panic attack. I'm gonna eat a deodorant because I need to get fucked up.
I went to rehab. I'm back 4 months sober.
Yeah, he's doing great. For those of you that are asking, he's doing all right. He can tell you himself, but it's funny.
Real fat now, but everything else is fine.
But it's funny because when you're like, I remember being a young comic, and you get an older comic around you, and you have so many questions you want to ask.
Yeah,
but you don't realize that they might be going through something.
He was 15 years older than me.
Oh, though. That's nuts.
That's the funniest thing. It's like I was younger. Like he had lived more of a life than I did.
Yeah. That's even funnier. That he's like, I got a joke about Nom. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't even born yet. There is like this, because like I remember one time after a show was when I found out like my grandma had like gone really bad.
Yeah.
And this guy was just like being really nice at the bar, but he was like trying to talk to me about comedy, but with like new comic energy where he was like, yeah, it's crazy of that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. What? And I always, you know how we're always worried about what other people think about us.
Yeah.
I'm always worried that this guy thought I was being a dick. When in reality, I was like, oh, so she's going to die. I got to like take care of this. But you don't know the guy. So you can't like let him in.
No,
you can't
of course go like, not.
You know, I mean, you're in rehab.
I mean, I did. The day my mom died, we found this. Oh, man, there's this great in Jersey, in Ocean County. They have like, what do they call it? They have the liquor stores and the beer, but they have bars in the back connected so you can get it and then go in. And it was the greatest. But then I definitely was like, my mom's dying over there. And I got a couple free shots, baby.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny. You're trying to get free shots. My mom's dying.
He goes, I hear you, brother.
Want to top me off?
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is what being a bum is. Yeah. I realized, like, on the subway, it's like, I'm the guy with the laminated my house burned down New York Post article.
And then you're going, like, a little bit. And if you've been on that side bartending, like,
yeah,
They'll just tell you. They'll be like, "There you go, bud."
Were you a bartender?
I was never a bartender.
I was like a beer and wine, but I've never had somebody like. That didn't happen at Hard Rock, right? When you worked there.
What? Well, I didn't work at Hard Rock.
Not Hard Rock. Where'd you
Dos
work?
Dos Caminos,
where somebody would like be like, "Oh, rough day trying to get like extra shooters and stuff like that."
That happened. The one day it did happen was the financial collapse in 08.
Oh, well, you have to give, guys.
But you don't. Because these are fucking rich stockbrokers.
That's true, yeah.
So fuck you.
Yeah.
I really didn't have any sympathy for them. They were like, it collapsed. And I'm like, okay. But here's the difference. They had their Amex cards. They had their business accounts.
Yeah.
So they were getting, one guy we found in the bathroom at 3 p.m. throwing up because he had drank 8 Patron margaritas.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Because he was like, I lost everything. Y'all lost everything. Like Bear Stearns and Blackstone were by us. So they were like, and Lehman Brothers. It was Lehman Brothers, Blackstone, and Bear Stearns. And they were coming down and getting, because you know when you're a waiter, you don't make shit money. The lunch clothes, I did only lunches. You'd get the rush. That's where you make most of your money.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the shift is you like picking up scraps. So you like, you hope to hit $100 in tips by making 75 during the lunch rush and then like $30.
Yeah.
You know, or a little bit more so you can tip out.
Love capitalism, baby.
Love capitalism. And then they came in and were like, you know, it was all like CNN where they're like, yeah, the housing market's collapsed, everything. It was like in a day. And they came in and were like, 2 margaritas. Like, and the cafe filled up because it was kind of nice. And I was like, I've never made that much money waiting tables.
That's amazing.
I think I walked with over 300.
When that day happened, I was a security guard.
Oh, I forgot. There used to be a security guard at the Met.
And I was on a bus just going cross town. I would take the cross town bus because I was living at Washington Heights at the time.
Were you wearing a blazer?
We all had these polyester suits that we would wear. And I would get mine dirty, and they had this old guy who was like union end who like did all the suits. And I remember I got it so bad one day, he called me down from the shift, and I went into the tailor's, and they had my suit laid out like a victim on Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And he goes, "You see this? Do you have any respect for yourself?
You are guarding the Metropolitan, where the greatest art is brought from around the world." I remember your old joke where you were like, Michelle Obama.
That's true. Yeah,
that came to the Met and they didn't let Dan be in the front.
Yeah, they made me back. Yeah, it was crazy. But I still remember
your punchline. You go, Michelle Obama, will you sign my Michelle Obama action figure, which is really just Storm in a pantsuit?
Yeah. That was on Conan. I got on Conan.
Yeah.
And the half hour special when that mattered.
Dude, we did our half hour specials together.
Yeah, you crushed it.
So did you. I remember about your
Dan's like, "I'll stay with stand up," and I'm like, "This idiot, I'm gonna go right on sitcoms. They're never gonna go away."
I remember Dan was fucking crushing during his taping. But we taped the same night. You and Lawrence taped first, and Joe DeRosa and I taped second.
Yeah.
That was the tapings in Boston. It was Lawrence in St. Germain.
That was a killer. That was a murderer's row. It was like,
I mean, Little Nikki, Rel, Jared, Nikki Glaser,
Rel. God damn.
Logan, what's her name? There were a lot of people
lot of fucking killers on that. That
Cristela Alonso.
That year may have been like the best half hour year.
It was nuts.
It was insane.
But they, you know, like when you go to do the walkthrough or whatever, they're like, "Listen," they go, I just remember this specifically from our taping, where they go, "If you are sweating, we will let you know, towel down, and then we'll reposition and you can go there." Saint Germain wore this really cool leather jacket while he was taping. And he was just, I mean, like preacher sweating.
Oh, it was bad. Like,
he was preacher sweating.
They turned it red. It was usually sweat, and then they changed the font red for me.
On the camera, everyone in the back of the director's going like this. He's going, "He's not reading the fucking sign." I was in Video Village, and they're like, "He's not fucking seeing it." It's like, ooh, ooh. they're like putting the beacon out, and Dan's like, Evan Williams. Oh, that's his head, dude. And he's got his jacket like kind of off because you were so hot. But dude, you were murdering.
I had a good set.
But it was so fucking funny.
I remember
funny.
I did to celebrate it. It was like, it was just everyone else, like Mike Lawrence had a party, a bunch of people I know had parties. I just went to Mike Lawrence's house with my girlfriend at the time and just watched it together and just checked the comments.
Dude,
that was it. That was my part. That was my celebration.
I had a crush on a girl and who lived in Texas. Yeah. And we were going to my cousin's wedding and I had flirted with her and she was like, oh, well, maybe we'll watch your special when it comes out. Because I was down in Austin right. when the special came out. And I was like, you know, like still middle school brain where I'm like, that'd be pretty cool if we watched it together. And then we're at this like party. She was at this party. I didn't know at the time she was dating a guy. And she was just like being nice. Like we were kind of flirting, but she was also dating a guy. And she goes like this. Well, I'm going to take off. And I was like, so where are you going to be at like 10 p.m. Eastern?
Oh,
and
my she was like, God.
Oh, I don't know. I got to go. And then I just sat. I didn't watch it. It just aired.
That's what being a comedian is, folks.
I was at that Hilton in Austin.
Waiting for the moments that never come to quote The Wire.
You're just constantly waiting for your dad to pick you up from baseball practice.
Just waiting for the moments that'll never come.
And I don't resent the girl at all. I actually thought it was the funniest outcome was to like have a special air. That's why now when I put something out, it's like I don't like my HBO special came out.
Yeah.
Katie was like, you've got to at least celebrate the fact that this is on. And I was like, all right, I'll meet you in the middle. I want to watch it go from a movie into my special, and then we'll stop watching. And Katie was like, that's fair.
So you stopped like 5 minutes in?
Because I knew that. I edited it, so I knew what it was.
You knew what it was.
So when the HBO old school...
What was the movie?
It was the one with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, where they're like...
Oh, that was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, so
that... It bombed, but it was really good.
That ended, and then it like did the coming up on HBO, and then it did the intro.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. Because List was right. When I got the HBO special, List goes, oh man, you get to see the...
Oh, and then
go
amazing.
In, and that was the coolest.
That was the coolest. That's
and
the
I
coolest
did the part. Old school HBO intro because I saw Drew Michael do it on his mm-hmm. when Gerard produced it, and I asked, I was like, "Can I do it on mine?" And Gerard and Bo were like, "Yeah, absolutely. We'll do the one from the year you're born, 84 or 83."
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's cool as shit.
Yeah, but that was like that was the most. And now we're on YouTube. Now you're just like
now it's like a Cialis fucking ad before. Like in the middle of my punchline, they'll cut to
you go and that and the murderer was. Are you having a hard time with the erection? Are you
some old guy in a tub trying to get hard?
Just being like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, but your special's fucking hilarious.
Well, thanks, man. Yours too. I saw yours. I mean, everyone's watching. It's over like a million views.
Yeah, but yours is climbing.
Climbing, baby. Little special that could, baby.
Yeah, dude.
Little
it's specials. It's that fucking. Could. What I like about it is what's similar about both of ours. We filmed it in a club. No, like no bullshit. Just like here you go.
It was, yeah, it was a very much old man hustle. Shout out. He wanted to do a premiere, and I did because I showed it in rehab. That was my premiere.
Really?
Yeah, I showed it to the guys in rehab, and it did okay. Like some people were not into it.
Really?
So I smoked like half a pack of cigarettes, like outside, and I was getting discharged the next day, and like. And then,
did they do like movie night for it?
Yeah, we got it on there, and like,
so they put it on the big screen.
Yeah,
rehab?
Kinda, well, not that's the big, best, not premiere. The big screen.
That's the best premiere you're ever gonna
the
have.
The biggest screen was they were watching Everything Everywhere All at Once, but then the girls. The girls couldn't watch it, so they watched my This Is Not Happening upstairs, and it wasn't going well, and I just, like, went outside, and I started smoking with my man, Rhea. I love that dude. I forget his name now, but he was, like, he was just giving me cigarettes, and I'm like, I gotta quit. What the I'm not strong enough to do this shit anymore. I can't fucking do this shit. That's this so is funny. Killing me, and I was like, you know.
So, wait, when you came back in, were they like, yay?
Some people liked it. Some people, I could tell, were like, eh.
But, dude, that's honestly... The worst.
It wasn't. It wasn't. As, it wasn't like. It wasn't a bomb, but it wasn't universally beloved either.
Yeah,
it
was, that's, those real, are
it was like kind of like right in the middle.
That's comedy. That's like when you have like I'll have friends come out or whatever, and you could tell they didn't like love the show.
Oh yeah.
And they just go like, "Hey man, you're doing it," and you're like, "Don't."
I specifically remember one of them said like afterwards, "Oh man, that was pretty good. Have you seen Matt Rife,
dude?"
As soon as dude, that happened,
I had a roommate like, come out. Right, well, I had an old roommate come out who I hadn't seen in a while down in Florida. And him and his boys were like, they're cool guys.
Yeah.
They're like real, let's go get chicks. We're cool kind of guys.
Yeah, those guys.
And I could tell, like, my whole act is like, I'm a fucking loser.
Yeah.
And I could tell that they're like, bro, I don't vibe with that. Ugh. But they were like this. Hey, they did this. You're doing your thing.
I hate that too.
And then recently he put up a post of a comic, and I won't say who, but he was like,
I think I know.
He was like, this was the greatest show I've ever seen. And you're like, fuck you. In your head, you're like, fuck off, you fucking bimbo.
I was saying this before the podcast. My next special, I'm just, because this is the new thing, I'm just going to lie about a hate crime that didn't happen.
You were saying this before the podcast.
I'm
going to
say I'm one of Sandusky's kids.
Dude, that's so funny.
Because they're all sealed. Half those kids are sealed. I can get away with saying it.
Yeah, call it wet in the shower or something. Shower claps.
Just do it. Do it in the Penn State shower room.
Oh, my God.
Have Jared Freed do the intro because he went there.
Yeah, he's like, Nittany Lions, are you ready for your headliner? This guy got fucked to death in the shower by Jerry Sandusky. Ladies and gentlemen, dance, St. Germain.
And then have like puppets of Paterno and Dottie Sandusky. And like, hey, that's pretty good. Good for nothing.
Come to Penn State. He's like, I was unaware of all the sexual allegations.
Shut up, puppet pop. He's like,
I was undefeated two seasons. Your butthole cost me a dynasty.
Did you see the movie with Pacino?
Oh, yeah.
He was actually pretty good as Paterno, but the whole, like, there's no acting. All he does is like, Paterno, did you know this is happening? He goes, oh, I don't know. And then he, like, just scutters off to another room. You know?
Dude, it's crazy because I did an episode of Little Stinkers where we went into the entire Mike Rainey in Philly. It's like Mike Rainey and his friends. They have an awesome podcast where they go in, like, on a criminal, and he read the Sandusky book and, like, laid it out for me.
Oh, yeah. It's gnarly.
It is. Wild,
dude. It's the craziest. It's the most ambitious thing a pedophile has ever done.
His wife still thinks he's innocent.
Of course she does. She had to, like, even though she was like turning up, you know, the volume to Star Search every time he was down there with like a little kid.
He goes, and it's Med McMahon going, and the scores are in. It's like,
plus he was like 6'4".
Yeah, this is a big boy.
This was like a big boy. This wasn't like Michael Jackson. Sit on me. This was like Freddy Krueger. If Freddy Krueger was a linebacker, that's what Sandusky
was. And we are
like.
Late enough in the podcast to say, if you're going to be molested, let it be a tiny guy.
Of course.
You don't want a big old gorilla tossing you around.
Yeah, like, well, think about it. You either got Jackson, you went to Neverland Ranch.
Great.
Sandusky, you went to like Penn State when they weren't good.
I will argue you learned how to do a cover two better than anybody. I bet you knew. He was a linebacker coach. I bet you knew to get to hook to curl on cover three. Check the run first. I bet your fundamentals were off the charts. Michael Jackson, there's no doubt in my mind. What a time.
It was like 90% a great day.
Oh, my
God.
That
10%, though.
I mean, you fed a giraffe, and then that's what you thought about.
That's what
about.
He calls it.
Yeah.
Are you ready to feed the real giraffe?
And then Sandusky was like, get up, drills. He's just making you do drills, and you're like, you looked forward to the fucking with Sandusky.
Oh,
because you were like, that was the shower. You know, that's the cool down.
He called it, and his book was called Touched, right? That was the other thing.
Yeah, his
book was called Touched.
So, by the way, I did this podcast in like back in December, and we just like fucked around or whatever, and then I was getting tweets from people that were like,
they're Sandusky truthers.
That's what I was just
going to
say.
Which is fucking wild. There's I've gotten that too. When we talked about it on My Dumb Friends, and I got like a long email about how Sandusky didn't do it.
There's people that are like, dude, you're a fucking idiot if you believe that. Mountain of evidence. And they're going, nah, bro, you don't know the real story.
My favorite
are people that go like, nah, you don't know the real story. And you go, buddy, listen, I wish there was a real story. The guy was a piece of shit.
Yeah, piece of shit. That's a night. That's like the nicest thing. Like, just human monster, like a nightmare factory.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't been killed in prison.
Yeah. Anyway, check out Dance Fatty Dance.
Dance Fatty Dance on YouTube.com at Dance St. Germain.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?